Let's do it.
What is going on, hockey fans? Welcome to another edition of Thunderstruck, your unofficial Lincoln Stars podcast, episode 55, Gene.
Double nickel.
I don't know how we missed episode 50, but, you know, counting has never been my strong suit. So
I slept through it.
Yeah, I went back, counted the things up, because our guest tonight, the Dumb and Chase podcast, Sam Olmstead, is releasing their 100th episode this week.
That's magnificent. I was sitting there wondering earlier today exactly how many we did before you texted me the 55, because, you know, there's, just think about that. Now, I don't know how many, I don't remember how many we did, three or four at
that is counting the episodes at camp, but.
I mean, those were still based on what we're doing now. I know we went an hour or so until Joel started using stuff for.
It put some time restraints on us, trying to try and tame the beast a little bit.
Which is probably good for everybody involved.
Yeah, too much of us is probably just a bad deal for everybody.
Yeah, we need to, you know, not just hit play and walk away, right?
Yeah, I like that idea. Anyways, it's been a few weeks since we've done a show. Been a few weeks since you've been at a hockey game. How have things been?
Well, we did one last week.
Did we do one last week?
We did do one last week.
Man, it's the grind of the season. Everything is just a blur, so I really have no clue. I don't barely even know what today is.
So speaking of that, talking about the grind, I was having a conversation around here. We're in Studio B or Studio C this week. Studio.
Yeah, 5. We are not in the Thunderstruck studios at deep in the trenches of the icebox tonight.
Yes, we're in the belly of the Cotter household, where we had the official Lincoln Stars bachelor finale party last night. Then wasn't really talking with many of the boys, but had some opportunity over the last couple of days to have some conversations with Books about, we are at that time of year now where the light is big and bright at the end of the tunnel, and the mental fortitude that you needed to possess to get through January, February, March. I remember us talking about that after they came back from Christmas. This is the hardest time, because you got now 3 months, the schedule's backloaded, and you better be in it mentally or you're going to be in trouble.
That for sure. You did mention that, though. This was the host of the official Lincoln Stars bachelor finale party. And my understanding is they had a pool going on. Who won the fantasy draft pool for the bachelor? Do you know?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. We'll have to ask Carly or Books or somebody. I don't know. It was the whole team, but we had, I don't know, four or five and some of the front office staff over here last night.
And I was watching, I got on a deep dive on one of the Netflix reality dating shows. And I was like, you know what? They need a dating show for unsuccessful, fat, ugly people. And I would be perfect for that show.
Oh, BA, quit. Don't sell yourself short. You're a hell of a slouch.
Exactly. But you see these shows, they're all good looking, successful people. And like,
what were you watching on Netflix? Too Hot to Handle?
It was Too Hot to Handle. Man. That was exactly what I was watching. I don't know how I ended up binge watching the whole series on like 2 days. I was like,
what season are they up to now? Because I may or may not have watched the first couple.
I don't know. This was the only one I seen. It was the latest season. So I don't know if there's any seasons before this one.
I'll have to get Aiden and Books down here and you guys can all talk Too Hot to Handle and what Lana was up to this season.
Wait, no, it wasn't Too Hot to Handle, but what was it? The Perfect Match. So it was a spinoff of Too Hot to Handle, but I did watch the first season of Too Hot to Handle way back when it did come out.
Yeah. Yeah, those are hours we'll never get back.
Yeah, it's the sad existence of my life. Only because I've been dealing with car trouble.
I heard that.
I mean, I dumped a ton of money, got the front end of the suspension of my car fixed off, thinking, all right, everything's good to go. Get ready to head to the game on Friday night, leave work, jump on the highway. Battery light comes on, and I knew right away that it was the alternator went out on it. Get it back to my shop. I'm like, what am I going to do? Alternator's pretty simple, easy fix. I go look at this thing, and I got to take out the AC compressor, lower the subframe on the car just to get it out. So I text John from Automotive Services, Inc., who's actually a longtime season ticket holder, and I think he's actually going to sponsor the Stars now. Texted him while he was at the game. I'm like, hey, can you get me in? He's like, text me in the morning. That way I don't forget, because, you know, it's Friday night. We're out there at the Icebox. We're having a few cocktails.
On
Jersey auction night. You know how this goes. So I texted him back on Saturday morning, gave me a price. I'm fixed up, ready to go. So shout out to John over at Automotive Services, Inc.
Nice. And by the way, it just clicked to me why you thought we didn't do one. It's because I was on location.
That's right,
in
you
San
were.
Antonio.
You, how was that? How'd the trap meet go?
They shot. They were 15th out of 19, I think, in their division, and they were in the lower division. But you know, they weren't down there to make money anyway. They left Laramie in a driving snowstorm in 15 degrees and got back to Laramie. And in between, they got to in a driving snowstorm in 15 degrees. And in the middle, we got to experience 90 degree weather and some sun.
It's crazy how that happens. I woke up Sunday morning and there was snow on the ground after a great 65 degree day on Saturday. So,
yeah, 'tis the season. Probably why I sound a little nasally today is probably have allergies.
Allergies need to make up their mind on what they want to do.
That they do. Coming home from San Antonio, we're driving down I-35 just north of Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden, I think every cop in Oklahoma was on the other side of the road, drove a couple miles further up the road. There was a whole bunch of the little yellow evidence tents and shell casings all over the place. Got a little further up the road, more action. Some dude had robbed a bank in Kansas and was driving the opposite direction down I-35.
Good Lord.
In a shootout with the police.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was exciting.
I want to see the dash cam footage from that.
No doubt. Right up until we got stuck in the traffic jam and had to get diverted, and it took us an extra hour to get out. We drove all the way home 15 and a half hours from San Antonio on Friday. Got to listen to the last 3 hours, or the last... Listened to Stars game for the last couple hours, though, so that made it good.
That would explain, were you driving?
Yeah.
Okay, that would explain the lack of text during the hockey game then. Yes. So good for you, Gene. Good for you, you know, for not texting and driving. I could see, you know, while you're waiting in a traffic jam or whatnot, you know, shooting a little text here and there, but.
Yes. Well, you know, here is the thing, too. And we also may have the phone up in the little window of the Ford Explorer with Flow Hockey on, listening to it, and... So I can't really text, drive, and watch at the same time.
Voice activation text. It works wonders.
Yeah. I would have had to have Sherry text you and Joel.
Nice to talk to someone intelligent for once then.
Yeah. No kidding.
Anyways, back to the hockey talk here for a little bit. Stars clinched the playoffs for the second year in a row, picking up a win on Saturday night up in Sioux City. Could have clinched things off on Friday night. Unfortunately, that did not happen. Stars blew another 2-goal lead late in the game. I mean, I was disappointed, but, you know, we kind of harped on this all year long. So when you get up a lead like that, you know, how hard is it to stay engaged? And, you know, they're just showing once again, it's hard to do.
Three out of our four losses, we had at least a 2-goal game. Three of them, I think, were 2-0. The other one was a 3-0. Good news was, and I know I did text a little bit on Saturday night when we're up 3-rip, and all of a sudden
I saw the shark circling, so I, and I'm so like, oh, here
shark,
we go.
And then I added another shark when it was 3-2, and then fortunately Tony buried that one to put us up 4-2.
Yeah, and that goal was huge. I mean, Boston comes in there, blows a tire, and Boston blew a tire earlier in the game, kind of on a defensive play down in his zone, and it's like, I was thinking to myself, I go, you can definitely see the skills differences between guys in the NHL, because you don't see that happen that much in the NHL. And then to have it happen, you know, twice in the same game with the same player, I'm like, I don't know if there's something with the ice or, you know, just I don't know. It just struck me as odd.
Need a fresh edge, something like that. But yeah, so somehow Books ends up with the puck, and I don't remember exactly, but it ended up on Tony's stick to bury it to go up 4-2. And yeah, I don't know what to make of. I don't know what kind of text you get. I know that Rocky was less than pleased after the game on Friday night. There were some questions about, I think Joel asked him, what was your message to the team? And he's like, I didn't have one. That was the message.
And that's, you know, in this level, this age group, that, I mean, that's a good lesson right there. I mean, you don't need to come in here and sugarcoat things like, oh, okay, guys. Sometimes your lack of words says a whole lot.
Yeah, I know there was some conversation out there in a couple message boards around, you know, blame the kids. Well, you know, like you just said.
Okay, they are kids, but this is their job.
It's not juice box and
we're not 8-year-old mites out there. We're not bantams out there. This is top tier junior hockey in the United States.
And we are in a position. We were in a position last week where we were right on Waterloo's heels. Waterloo coming into our barn this week where we could go from third to second?
I think so. I think if everything works out, I think that's a good possibility that I think mathematically that can happen.
And we got a point.
You're the stats guy, though.
Yeah, we got a point. Get another big point tomorrow. I mean, Tri-City remained. I mean, they swept Fargo in their barn. And not when I say in their barn, out of Viero. They played them in a 3-game set Friday, Saturday, Sunday and swept them. And it wasn't really even close.
No, it was not the Fargo that we are used to seeing.
I think it was the first time all season Marinov had lost back-to-back games all season long in regulation. It was just dumbfounding to me to watch those scores and watch some of those games. And because I did watch some of it on Saturday and watch some of it on Sunday. Because I think they were still playing after we got done.
You mentioned the game tomorrow. It's weird. 11 a.m. game, the STEM game, a bunch of school-age kids coming in for field trips. I'm curious to see how the team gets up for an 11 a.m. game.
I'm wondering if Tri-City's already in town or if they jumping up and hitting the bus and at 7 and heading to Lincoln. I realize it's not a huge trip, but...
No, it's a two-hour jaunt on a bus still, but...
Playing at 7 o'clock at night on a Friday is a little bit different than 11:05 a.m. puck drop on Thursday, especially when you're coming off a short week. You just swept Fargo. That had to be pretty emotional for you. Speaking of Fargo, I did not realize how close they are to clinching the frickin' Anderson Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Your cup.
Yeah. I wonder if I can repo that thing.
Did you realize that?
I knew they were up there, and I mean, the only other competition is Chicago's up there, but not by much, and Waterloo.
Yeah,
it's the East is as far as points goes, they're kind of out of contention there. I mean, everybody except for Chicago, I believe, is out of contention for the Anderson Cup out at East.
I think you're right, but I don't know why, and I'm glad that Sam's going to be on tonight so we can talk a little bit about the East because we haven't talked about the East much this year. I mean, early we were talking.
We talked a lot of trash about the East. But
That's true.
That's par for our course.
I was listening. Sherry and I were listening to a couple of our last episodes, and I know. We recycle questions, right? Because we talked to Dunbar a couple weeks ago and about, hey, let's tell us about the difference between the East and the West. And then we talked to whoever it was.
Larry last
week, and they kind of gave different answers about, oh, yeah, the East is.
And it's just the difference of how players perceive the thing. So, I mean.
Difference between playing in Muskegon and Madison.
Youngstown.
That's not exactly what I meant.
Yeah, I knew exactly what you meant.
I'm sure the Youngstown people really love being confused by me with Muskegon.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be Team USA you can confuse them with.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you know, you probably knew this, that Lincoln-Omaha game from a couple weeks ago from March 18th, 176 PIMs in that game.
What a fun game.
I don't know if you listened to Rocky and Mason Marcellus were on... The drive with...
I saw they were on it. I have not gone back and watched the live stream on 93.7 Tickets YouTube channel. I have not watched that yet.
Mason was gushing about how much fun it was to be in that game. But anyway, that 176 is the most highly penalized game in the league this season, unsurprisingly. But it's 52 minutes more than the next closest.
Wow.
And guess who that is? Who do you think that you would be?
I would think like maybe an Omaha Sioux Falls game because they have the highest penalty guys on both those
teams.
They do.
It's an East matchup though. And so
Team USA had a gong show a while back ago.
How do you get? That's exactly right. 52 minutes is Cedar Rapids and NDTP had 152 minutes.
Yeah, I remember there was a gong show a couple weeks ago.
How do you get in a gong show? We talked about this last year.
It is Team USA, let's be honest there.
But they've got their freaking masks
on. I think that's how. It's like, okay, yeah, we're not going to have the fighting majors or anything like that, but we'll have a little bit of roughing and whatnot, and we'll take some cheap shots because we have our special cages on.
And I don't know about you. I was looking at, we were talking about this over dinner, the top 5 in penalty minutes in the league, and Books was like, am I in it? And I'm like, dude, you're not even close.
No, not even close.
Yeah, I think we figured out he's 17th or something like that. But
you gotta step up your game there, Books.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know who is in the top 20, top 10? Hagen Moe, who doesn't even play in this league anymore, is still in the top 10. But I was actually a little surprised by who's leading in penalty minutes because I haven't really noticed.
Is it Diamond still?
He's second.
Is it second? Okay.
Yeah, Clint Levins from Sioux Falls is first, and I haven't really
I saw on one of those message boards on the USHL, I think it was the Trash Talk page, that some Omaha fans like, oh, Clint Levins ain't doing nothing with Will Diamond on the ice. You know what Clint Levins went and done? Scored two goals.
Yeah, and got in a fight with Will Diamond.
Did they fight in that game?
It was a recent game.
It was this past weekend.
The weekend before. Yeah. Well, it must have been 2 weekends.
So it must have been the weekend before that they got in a fight. I knew they did get in a fight, but it's like, hey, he doesn't need a fight when he's putting up points.
Well, that's what surprises me about him, is that you don't, I mean, we haven't seen him. He was the kid who early in the season, Sambuco ended up with a couple games suspy because he tried to jump out of his way and clipped him with his shoulder in the head and gave him a concussion. And
that was whatever. A BS call.
Yeah, well, I think it was too, especially the suspension part of it. Maybe you get a 2 minute for head contact, but it was accidental. But I don't know. If we get on the David Lilly Jr. track,
we can't go on that track anymore. He's been promoted. He's a full-time ECHL guy now.
Is he?
Yeah.
I noticed that he doesn't get talked about much anymore. All right, so let's go back to Friday night.
All right, Friday night.
That's one of those games that you look back at the end of the season and go, ugh. How did we let
Sioux City back? Did exactly to us what we did to them. What was it last year?
Last year, yep.
And yep. It's one of those games where, you know, you gotta figure out a way to win those ones.
So I started asking you this question about, I've had more than one person this week say, God, Friday night, especially after we got up, we just looked disinterested. And I don't think that they were talking about the team as a whole looks disinterested, but a couple players here and there look like, and I just hope that's okay. We've clinched and we're in. And
well, we hadn't clinched then.
But we needed 3 points, and we have 12. At one point, I think I texted maybe you and Joel over the weekend, and I was like, "Okay, I'm not really sure we have clinched, because if we lose out and Des Moines wins out,
I think we have the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Well, but don't you play the tiebreaker? It didn't matter. Because regardless, we still had more points than Sioux Falls or Omaha. So we had clinched regardless. But it was just one of those things whereby all you got to do is win one game the rest of the way and you're going to clinch.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those games that, you know, I think Rocky nailed it on the head. We just need to figure out a way to do it. We looked disinterested, especially when it came down to that, when they had their goalie pulled. All we had to do is get the puck out of the zone. But there was a few guys out there that just wanted to make cute plays, which doesn't help us as a team. It might help you as a stat in your stat column, but you got to look at the bigger picture there.
Yeah, and you got to self-analyze, and I think that was exactly Rocky's point at the end, was, you know, coming out. And I sometimes feel bad for Rocky, because as much of a competitor as I am, if I just had a game like that, I know how frustrated I was Friday. If I'm the coach and now I have to come out and sit in front of the stands, be recorded – in front of the fans, I mean, and be recorded on whatever.
And you know you're already pissed off as it is, because the outcome of the game. Like, even Joel's mentioned in our group chat with him that, you know, Rocky's interviews after the game, after losses, sometimes, you know, aren't the best, because he hasn't had his chance to sit back and reflect on it. As far as if you look at the Wednesday interviews on their press conference, that he breaks down the game a little bit better that way.
So as a former sports hack that covered Nebraska football for 20 years, when you were talking Division I college football, there was always a mandatory cooling off period for coaches after the game. In other words, I think it was the press conference is not going to start until 20 minutes or maybe 30 minutes after the game, so that the coach could come in and not come in and just be completely and totally emotional. You didn't get to talk to the coaches or the players walking off the field unless you were
ESPN ABC, or ABC, yeah, or
somebody who was writing the big checks, but not those of us with the AP or the Lincoln Journal Star.
And whereas Rocky comes out, what, 10 minutes after the game?
Yeah, sometimes it's even more quickly than that. Then some of it's probably like, let's just get this over with and hit the bricks. But I get it, because there's times where I would want no part of that. Well, remember Mike's a few years ago would send somebody else up to talk to him.
I kind of enjoyed that as far as the coach's show goes. Sometimes you'll get, you know, the assistant coach out there. I mean, I love to hear from Art or Mike, you know, come up after, you know, even after a win. I mean, I know Mike's did it after losses a lot of times, but even after a win, I wouldn't mind hearing from the assistant coach. It just gives everybody a different perspective of the game.
I'm going to give, my whole point was, I'm going to give Rocky a lot of grace on those, because if he's feeling, he's got to be feeling 10 times the way I'm feeling that. But I feel for the players too, because then they have to come up 10 minutes after that and sign autographs and put their smiley faces on. And
yeah, that they do. And I mean, I can't imagine like how much Rocky or any coach in the USHL comes up and has to bite their tongue, especially on like games when it really wasn't your fault that the outcome happened, but outlying circumstances, cough, USHL referees. How much you have to bite your tongue, you can't really say what you want to say.
What have we seen? Rocky suspended for a total of 6 games or 7 games in the 2 years that he's been here because he said something about a ref that all of the rest of us were thinking. You and I can probably say and get away with it, but he even hints at it and he's got problems. And
yeah, it's a tough gig for sure.
I still wish that officials in all sports would have some sort of an accountability.
I have a press conference with the officials afterwards.
Yep. What did you see here? Let's go through the replay. And or
especially after, like in championship playoff games, I mean, regular season games, okay, yeah, but when it comes down to, you know, like look at the Final Four right now.
Yep, that's what I was just thinking, that Creighton, San Diego State, is that who it was?
Yeah.
The other day, that very last play where, you know, sure, it's very easy to look in slow motion and go, oh, that's not a foul. Yeah, his hand's on his hip. Well, look close. He's turning his hip. I mean, he's pulling back on him. And if you're a shooter and you're that high up in the air and somebody all of a sudden contorting your body away from you, guess what? That's a foul.
Yep.
I'm one of those guys who roots for Creighton unless they're playing Nebraska.
So like every other Nebraska basketball fan, because I think most Nebraska basketball fans will root for Creighton.
Yeah, but there's a lot of hate out there right now for Jayskers, you know. How can you be a Nebraska football fan and a Creighton basketball fan? I'm not. I'm just saying I was rooting for them to win the other night just because they're a Nebraska team.
I'll make it easy. It's college basketball. I don't care about it.
Well, that's probably
what you know what's been exciting, though, is the college hockey playoffs.
That has been pretty good.
I feel bad for our boy Carter Shade. What a gut-wrenching way to go out on what was it, Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, losing to Michigan in OT.
Yep. I figured Michigan was going to stomp all over them, but that was just me. But
I don't think you were probably alone there.
Especially the way the Big Ten was putting up football scores over everybody.
No doubt.
In the tournament there.
It'll be interesting to see. I think that there's a lot of thought that I got to see Mini play in person against Notre Dame earlier this year. And
Minnesota's always been my team when it comes to college hockey, so I'm glad to see them back in it again.
They looked fantastic. Fantastic.
And I will root for every former Lincoln Star, depending on what team they're playing for, but
that's generally the way I pick my favorite teams too.
And sadly, there's no, I don't believe there's any former stars on Minnesota right now.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Well, if you count Luke Mittelstadt.
Yeah, okay.
Mittelstadt plays for Mini.
I count him. He suited up for a couple games.
Yep.
Had a cup of coffee here with the team.
Yep.
Anyways, speaking of cup of coffee.
I think he slept right over here on the floor for a few days.
Oh.
Or on the couch.
You can't provide the guys with the bed there, buddy?
Well, I had like 23 people here one time.
All right.
So I don't have 23 beds at the Cotter Bed and Breakfast.
All right. Makes sense. Anyways, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have Sam Homestead for the Dump and Chase podcast on.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Zegras.
They score on the lacrosse move.
Makar.
Down low, Peel Makar. He scores!
Gensel.
The goalie scores! Jake Gensel.
All were stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey. Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
This is the Dump and Chase podcast.
We're trying to model ourselves after what you guys have done a little bit.
Voice of the Phantoms and friend of the show, Mr. Matt Lipsack.
I am along for the ride and perhaps provide some modicum of adult supervision here, although really that's a lost cause at this point.
We welcome back Phantoms president Andrew Goldman. It went smoother than it did with Matt.
I want that added.
Shaking your head now for?
I'm agreeing with you because he has absolutely killed us this year.
Well, so far, finger guns has meant Sam shut up. So.
Yeah, that's not helping. I'm trying to process. Okay.
Check out the Dump and Chase podcast every Wednesday on Western Reserve Radio, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Listen, that like was frightening. No sleep till...
Brooklyn!
All right, guys, welcome back to Thunderstruck, your unofficial Lincoln Stars podcast, as we drop the puck on the second period here. We are now joined by Sam Olmstead, the host of the Dump and Chase podcast, as they celebrate their 100th episode this week. Ooh. Sam, how's it going, my man?
Going well. Thanks for having me back on, guys. It's good to talk to you again.
Notice we have you on and not Justin on. I think that's probably a good thing.
I'm a little better with last-minute scheduling than he is. So, yeah, you're just getting me right now.
That's all good. That's all good. Got 100. 100. What do you think of that? Can you believe that you've gone 100 and the evolution that has that you've undertaken during that 100 episodes?
Yeah, it's been a lot of reminiscing, especially over the past week getting ready for this episode. I have a hard drive in my laptop that has basically everything we've ever done saved on it. And I knew the numbers were ticking up. I knew the numbers were counting up. The files were adding up. But just getting to this point and it's like, no, that didn't happen. And then going back and looking at all these files and it's like, yeah, I guess we actually did it, you know, and it was kind of done on purpose, but this episode is also coinciding with our 4-year anniversary. So yeah, I mean, we've been at it for a while, but yeah, it's just some minutes they're like, yeah, I mean, we've been at this, but yeah, there's other times where we're just kind of flabbergasted that, yeah, we've actually done 100 of these things now.
Take a minute and walk us through how you guys decided to start the podcast.
I mean, you guys know as well as anybody, getting any bit of news out of this league is tough to begin with. And there just wasn't really a lot out there, like as far as news about the Phantoms, anything like that. And you know, we had just discussed, you know, me and Justin had, you know, I sit right behind him at the games. We had been friends for a few years already, through going to these games. And we just kept talking about maybe someday doing a project together. Justin at the time had like a blog he was doing. And, you know, just that, you know, we were just kicking back and, you know, ideas back and forth and thought like, well, we already talk about the games already. We already, you know, kind of analyze and break these things down. Maybe me, I do that a little better now than I did 4 years ago. But yeah, and you know, kicking around the idea of just something to do. And then we kind of knew some of the back channels to get some news that maybe other people didn't. And it was reaching the point that people were starting to ask us questions. Hey, have you heard anything about this or blah, blah, blah. So, you know, just kicked the idea around and maybe doing a podcast. And I mean, that was, you know, from then on, it was, you know, just full steam ahead for actually a little over 4 years now. It actually took us about 2 months to get everything put together just to get the show going.
It scares me to even think about going back and listening to the first episode or two. Do you ever go back and listen to where it all started?
I can't remember how far back. We actually did an episode, like you'll see some, I mean, some are good, but for the most part, you'll see those really cheesy reaction videos on YouTube. We actually went back and kind of did like a reaction podcast where we played the audio from the first show. There's definitely been improvement since that first episode. We were terrified going into it. And if anything, we thought, well, at least it'll be funny. But actually, by the time we were done with it, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. But yeah, it's definitely grown by leaps and bounds since that first episode.
How much do you watch your listener numbers? I know when we first started, we're like, wow, we got 15 people listen to our first show. What was that, you know, the first couple of shows like when you saw some numbers and come back that people actually listened to you?
Well, when we first started, our episodes were releasing to YouTube because it was free. We still don't have much of a budget, but I mean, and you guys know as much as, you know, we do, everything's pretty much out of pocket. But yeah, like we were releasing to YouTube. So, I mean, we had like the view counter there. You know, in the first episode, when it was all said and done, we were like 130, 140. We were expecting maybe 5, and that was just the people sitting around us. So, you know, it just, that first episode, we're looking at 140, 150, and we're like, what is going on here? You know, second episode, a little less than that. Third episode, a little less than that. Yeah, but I mean, in the beginning, yeah, it was just constantly checking, seeing what the numbers were. We kind of got away from that a little bit as we went along and stopped obsessing about it as much, but yeah, definitely a shock in the very beginning. Because like I said, we were maybe expecting a few people to listen. Not definitely not like 150.
I've quit asking Brandon that too, because it was just like, in the beginning, it was like, are we wasting our time even doing this? And yes. Anymore? Well, probably. But you know, it's, let's be real. It's kind of cool. A couple weeks ago, we had some kid come up, ask us for our autograph.
Yeah, we gave autographs after the Stars game on day. Yeah. Kid comes up to us like, my dad listens to you. He loves your show. Can I have your autograph? And I'm like, do you even know who we are? I mean, we're nobodies.
You know, we haven't... As much as I hate to admit it now, no, after all this time, I have not once been asked for an autograph. We've joked before, if you have something you want us to autograph and you want it to be worth less after we sign it, then by all means, bring it up to us. But no, I haven't got that opportunity yet.
Oh, the sheet of paper we signed definitely was worth less after we got done with it.
wasn't it a Thunderstruck sticker?
I think it was a Thunderstruck sticker.
Yep. I'm out, by the way. I'm saving one to see if we can put on Massey's mask, since he's still flying the free agent goalie cage. Sam, what's your fondest memory so far?
Oh, Lord. You know what? Honestly, and it's recent. Doing this show has afforded so many opportunities that, you know, we never thought in the beginning would happen. I would say, honestly, the fondest, and it's, you know, quite recent, was the Cleveland Classic up at First Energy Stadium, where the Cleveland Browns play. That whole experience was just absolutely incredible. And then, getting to sit up in the press booth, which was actually the, Cleveland Browns, radio team's booth, getting, you know, sit up there and watch the game and, you know, hearing, our Phantoms broadcaster, Matt Lipsack, you know, call the game, you know, and get to have that vantage point and be able to watch the game from there. I don't think anybody in the organization thought an outdoor game like that would happen, but, especially for, you know, what we do and, you know, getting to be up there, you know, and have that experience. I'd probably say in my lifetime, that was probably, top, not even the podcast, just in my life, probably top five experience.
Best part about watching the game from the press box up there is you don't have to sit out in the cold. You can come in and warm up whenever you want. And I listened to your guys' show, and normally there's an abundance of food up there, but I heard you guys were lacking the food department.
Yeah, we were told to eat beforehand. I think we mistakenly assumed that there would be a vending machine like somewhere, you know, seeing, you know, kind of that press area that we were in and, you know, a lot of like staffing area up there. I think we just assumed there might at least be a vending machine. We didn't even get that, so... If I remember back, I think it was like, I went like 11 straight hours, with basically going off of like half of energy drink and like a bottle of water.
And the adrenaline of getting to sit in the panel in the press box of Brown Stadium.
It was an amazing experience. It was a tiny bit bittersweet. I am a lifelong Steelers fan.
Let's go Steelers.
that was a little bit of a bittersweet moment to it. It's, you know, it was an incredible experience, but there was just Browns logos and, you know, brown and orange everywhere. So, I kind of just had to ignore that and just kind of take in the experience as a whole.
The best part about being a Steelers fan though, is you were in the home press box of the Browns. So you can just reminisce of all the disappointment calls as the Steelers beat the Browns in the playoffs.
Well, I can say with certainty that watching the Cleveland Classic, much like a lot of the NFL games that were played there, there were no touchdowns scored.
Yeah, the other thing for you probably was the fact that the Phantoms dressed up like the Browns.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
That's a little rough.
Okay, Sam.
The jerseys there, that was, you know, I had somebody ask me, are you going to get one of those jerseys? I'm like, no, I'll wait till they do this at like Heinz Field in Pittsburgh before I even start thinking about that.
Yeah, I want to go watch a game both there and at the baseball stadium in Pittsburgh, because those just look really cool.
I'll tell you what, I've probably been to about 20 games at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. It's absolutely beautiful there. If you ever make the trip out, I promise you it'll be absolutely worth it.
Fantastic. One of the things that has surprised me the most is just how accommodating people have been. So I think you knew this about me. In addition to my real job, which I will never disclose on the air here, I also have been a
top secret spy agent.
Yeah. CIA. I have been a sports writer, so I've gotten to experience like the College World Series from the press box and Nebraska football games back when they didn't suck from the field and so on and so forth. But it has just absolutely blown my mind that we can, I am David frickin' Backus, and he answers us back and then comes on and gives us 30 minutes. Or we can go to the head coach, or we can go to the broadcaster, or any of the players. And we don't, Bill Robertson, the outgoing commissioner of the USHL, and we haven't been told no a single time. That has blown my mind. Has that been your experience as well?
Well, I mean, Bill Robertson didn't tell you no. He also didn't answer any of your questions. So, I mean, that's kind of a, you could go either way with
that. Fair enough.
That's probably true.
That's probably the reason why he's on his way out right now.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, and we set the goal early on that we wanted to show the team that we wanted to work with them. We weren't there to, you know, we weren't there to make waves. We weren't there to cause problems. We weren't there to cause controversy or anything like that. We were there, you know, with the same goal that they had, to promote the team and in a smaller way, promote the league, maybe not the NTDP, but the rest of the league. But no, it's, you know, cause we talked about, you know, it was our fourth episode when we did our first interview. That was Andrew Goldman, the Phantoms team president, you know, still the team president to this day. And we actually have another interview coming out with him this weekend. You know, I went and talked to him. We had little tiny conversations in the concourse, like during games and stuff like that. Never anything serious. And I, you know, went to him with this request. Hey, we'd like to have you on the show. You'd be our first interview. He didn't hesitate. He said yes. And that's in 4 years, we've only ever had one person tell us no. And it wasn't because they didn't want to do it. Was they said they'd be too nervous being interviewed and they were afraid they would embarrass themselves. So, I mean, and that's the only no we've ever gotten.
That's true. I guess I do recall now, we have a couple of Lincoln girls that play for Shattuck St. Mary's, and we've asked one of them when they were back, and we were told, oh, no, no, nope, I don't.
We'll be embarrassed, but they should listen to the show because we embarrass ourselves enough as it is.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I won't. During the Phantoms main camp last summer, there was one dad we were talking to, maybe getting him on for a couple minutes, talking about, you know, being a USHL dad. He didn't really say no. He just kind of said, I wish my wife was here. She's better at that stuff than I am. And then walked away. So, I mean, we didn't get an official no there, but that was about as close as we could get to a second no.
All right. So speaking of USHL, I was looking at, we haven't talked much Eastern Conference.
We have not.
This year. And all of a sudden I'm looking at the standings and I knew that Chicago was up there after the start that the Phantoms got to see them in second place. I don't, you know, I knew that they were firmly in a playoff position, but I didn't realize that they were in second. Talk about the turnaround that the Phantoms have had this year from the beginning to where they are now.
Well, I don't know so much if you can say it's a turnaround. If you discount the NTDP U17 squad, the Phantoms are the youngest team in the league. The general managers kind of made a conscious decision that they were going young this year, not only building for this season, but building for the future. You know, so we had a young team, you know, new head coach in Ryan Ward replacing Brad Patterson, who, you know, we always joke basically was standing in a field and they built the Cavelli Center around him, you know, had been around for a long time. He was out after last season. Ryan Ward comes in. So, I mean, just a young team, a new head coach. And there were some growing pains there in the beginning. And then, you know, Jacob Fowler, who right now is basically the number one goaltender in the USHL, leads the league in wins, leads the league in goals against average, save percentage, shutouts. You know, he had a real rough, you know, maybe first month and a half to the season. And then he's completely turned it around. But I think once everybody kind of bought into the new system and the younger kids got some experience, you know, expectations were high going into this year. They were a little tempered. I mean, this team has just far exceeded what anybody thought, you know, just a team this young would be capable of doing. Yeah, they've just blown past that, you know, coming down here to the end of the season.
Speaking of young kids, I was going to talk about Fowler. Didn't need to. You already took care of that. But William Whitelaw, I think, is a rookie. He's up there top 2-3 in all offensive categories, some regardless of status, but definitely in the rookies. Talk about him and some of the other young kids.
Will Whitelaw, I mean, you talk about players that, and you hear the phrase every once in a while, just a pure goal scorer. You know, and that's exactly what this kid is. I mean, he can score from anywhere on the ice. He is such a danger every time he is out there. His hockey IQ is just through the roof. But beyond that, most importantly, I mean, he's a great human being. I mean, there's not enough good things I could say about William Whitelaw. You know, you talk about Andrew Strathman, who tendered with Tri-City last year. We got in a trade in the offseason. He's just been unreal back on the blue line for the Phantoms. I think he's something like only 3 goals this season, but like 33 assists. I mean, his passing is just, it's incomparable to most of the league, what this kid can do. You know, then you got like the Brandon Svobodas. You have, the names are escaping me now. Austin Varner, maybe not a younger guy, but somebody who's really, especially here in the last month or so, is just really taken off. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of, you know, we've seen a few of the phase one kids, Torrey Pittner, defenseman, as the season's gone along, he's just gotten stronger and stronger. But yeah, it's, you know, you have this mix of, you know, the older leadership, but, you know, these younger players have been, I mean, pulling their weight here through the course of the season. But again, you know, it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you hope that some of these kids will be back here already with the experience they're getting this season. You're hoping some of them will be back next year. And, you know, again, I think that's kind of what the team's building towards, not just, you know, kind of a, oh, well, this is a Western Conference one, so I can say it. You know, trying to go with the Tri-City model of just going all in on one season. They're building for a future.
Yeah, speaking of Tri-City, I have several times this year thought about that trade 2 years ago that took Chase Patella, Evan Warner, I don't remember who else was involved, that went to Youngstown, and we got Jack Larrigan, Mason Marcellus, and one, maybe two other kids. I've kind of sometimes wondered who got the, because Marcellus in particular, he's in the top 2 or 3 in scoring, especially in assists. Larry's really come around this year. And then I look at what Patella's flying an A for you guys, right?
Yep.
So I, you know, what a productive trade for both teams. I still don't know what either the Phantoms or the freaking Stars were thinking getting rid of Warner, because, you know, he's just lighting it up at Tri-City.
You know, it's just one of those things, just a play, you know, sometimes a player in a certain system, it doesn't work out. And just, I guess something about both of our systems, I just wasn't agreeing with his style. And I guess he found it a little bit better once he took off to Tri-City now, or yeah, where is he now?
His style didn't work in Omaha either. So once he got to Tri-City,
well, he never got to play in Lincoln, because he got traded, like he made the team, and a week later, he's texting me saying, I guess got traded to Youngstown, so I'm out of here. And then ended up in Omaha, like you said. Must be the full-on orange that maybe that hampers people. I know Youngstown's got some orange in it, but, you know, the orange and black. The orange and purple plays much better than the orange and black does.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, it doesn't seem like a lot of players' playing styles have worked out in Omaha this season. So, I mean, it wasn't just Warner.
Not only player styles, the little podcast didn't work out that well in Omaha either.
Or their comment section.
What comment section?
Exactly.
That's on lockdown more than the United States was during the coronavirus.
That's right.
Anyway, so we talked about Youngstown a little bit. We talked about Chicago. What other teams in the East should fans out here in the West be looking for as we roll into the playoffs?
You know what? It's hard to say. And, you know, we talked about, I think last week's show, we kind of talked about this. There's like 3 tiers right now in the Eastern Conference. You have that upper tier with Chicago, Youngstown, Team USA. And then the second tier, the 4, 5, and 6 teams, that's where it's really getting interesting coming down to the final stretch. Green Bay, Dubuque, Cedar Rapids, 4th, 5th, and 6th place. Those 3 teams are separated by 4 points. But Dubuque and Cedar Rapids both have the game in hand on Green Bay. I believe it was a week ago, they all had the same amount of games played, same amount of points, and it was just their row number was all that was separating them. And then again, that third tier with Muskegon and Madison. Muskegon was somebody we thought might try to make a little bit of a push and squeak in. Last time I checked, they are having their souls ripped out by the U18s right now. So that may be the end of that. We have Muskegon coming in this weekend. Honestly, and we did well against them this season. Green Bay will be a team to watch. I believe when it was all said and done, we were 7-0-1 against Green Bay. 7 of the 8 games were 1-goal games. Their goaltender, Christopher Eberle, he's a good goaltender, but for some reason when he plays Youngstown, he turns into Martin Brodeur. And it basically takes Jacob Fowler having the game of his life just to let in less goals than he does. And, you know, Team USA, it's hard to say. Of course, the eight teams are the eight teams. I think they've only lost like two games in regulation and one overtime game this season. But, you know, they're not the ones. If, you know, Team USA qualifies for the playoffs, it'll actually be the seven teams that would play in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The seven teams are about a 500 hockey team. So when you look at their standings and where they are in the standings, the bulk of that is the U18s who won't factor into the playoffs at all once the playoffs start. And again, Chicago, I mean, you got the experience there. You know, the pedigree is there. Thankfully, the last couple of years, we've had a lot better luck with them than we had in the past. So, yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, the Eastern Conference is wide open. But looking through purple and orange tinted glasses, I'm really, really liking Youngstown's chances coming out of the East this year.
Right on. I think that that was something else that surprised me a little bit. Lincoln and Waterloo and Fargo have all clinched playoff spots already in the West. I think Chicago is the only team in the East that's actually clinched so far, right?
Yeah, Chicago has clinched. Right now, Youngstown, our magic number is one. And last time I looked, USA was up 7-1 on Muskegon. So if that holds, then that'll be the one that Youngstown needs, and Youngstown would clinch as soon as that game's over.
Right on, right on. Okay, so one other thing before we let you go, Sam, is I don't know if they're talking about it in the East yet, but I have heard Rocky Russo at least twice in the last week talk out loud about how we will be returning to interleague play next year. Are you hearing that out there? I'm pretty fired up about that actually being the case.
What I have heard would be similar to that. From what I've heard, it wouldn't be full on like it was before Rona came around, but we might start seeing more of it last season than we have been. I think right now, I think the Iowa teams more than anybody else are the ones that are, you know, playing cross conference games. But yeah, from what I'm hearing, it's a possibility that it won't go back to a full slate like it was before, especially with still, you know, travel costs and everything else, the way prices are right now, that it might not be back to like a full slate of, you know, intra-conference games, but definitely more than we've seen in recent history.
Well, hopefully Lincoln and Youngstown find a way to hook up in there at some point, because I have seen Omaha and Tri-City. I think everybody in the West has played somebody in the East in the last couple years outside of the Fall Classic, except for us. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that again.
I would think at the very least, Youngstown and Lincoln will be due for a Fall Classic game here before long. It's been a handful of years since those two have played each other. So I imagine that's got to be coming up again here soon.
Yeah, I believe so. So like Gene said, hopefully we get that, the interleague play. But Sam, episode 100 drops tomorrow. What time do you guys release your show?
It'll be somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock. I mean, as you know, you drop an episode, it kind of takes the podcast services a little bit to pick up on it and publish it. So somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, it'll be out. And I just wanted to say, you know, one of the goals of starting this show was hoping that over time we could kind of create this network of fan produced shows around the league. It took about 2.5 years for you guys to come along. So I think another 20 or something years or so, we'll be all set with all the teams in the league. But yeah, I mean, having you guys kind of joining in on this and, you know, having an idea of what we go through doing, you know, what we do, because you have to be a little certifiable to do this. How many episodes are you guys up to now?
55 is tonight's episode.
55. Wow. Yeah. So you've got to be a little bit crazy to keep it going longer than a few episodes. But yeah, I mean, as fun as it's been, you know, on this ride, you know, 4 years, you know, 100 episodes, you know, kind of having you guys along for it and you guys jumping into it and doing what you guys do out West, you know, I mean, we love it here. I mean, it's, you know, your show's immediate listening for me as soon as it's published. So, you know, thank you guys for, I mean, doing what you do, kind of joining in with us in this. I'm kind of taking this ride with us. You know, it's much appreciated out here, I'll tell you that.
Well, right back at, I know that you use a clip of us saying that we kind of modeled ourselves after you, and there's a new sound clip for you. But plain and simply, that's the truth. I remember when BA came up to me in the penalty box one night and was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And then we listened to you. And so high quality content, you know, Western Reserve, just the whole model that you've set out is definitely one to be followed. So congrats definitely on hitting that century mark. That's badass.
Well, Gene, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Gene said the first cuss word of the show this time, and it was not me.
Hey, you know what?
I feel special. BA, I want that on a t-shirt. what he just said, the episode number and the date, I want that printed on a t-shirt.
There you go.
All right.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter if I drop swear words, because he gives us the explicit label every episode.
Hey,
now,
man, so. I'm just covering my bases.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, Sam, episode 100, thanks for jumping on with us.
Pass along our congrats to Justin, too, if you would.
Oh, I certainly will. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
All right. Thanks, Sam. We'll talk to you later.
Need a windshield for your everyday driver? Call Waverly Glass Company. Need a windshield for your hot rod? Call Waverly Glass Company. Need a windshield for your old school classic car? Call Waverly Glass Company.
See their new shop, Waverly Glass, now open at 1400 Cornhusker Highway.
We do good work.
Not all car problems are mechanical. These days, the source of your car trouble might be a computer issue. Southside Auto Tech has kept up with technology for 25 years with ASE certified technicians and the latest factory diagnostic equipment. From your dashboard to your transmission, Southside Auto Tech has the tools and the know-how to fix the problem, whether it's mechanical or technical. Southside Auto Tech, just south of 48th and Highway 2 on Rentworth Drive.
Southside Auto Tech, mystery solved.
Hey, Stars fans. Head to the App Store on your smartphone to download the official Lincoln Stars hockey app, powered by True North Technologies. Get instant access to our roster, schedule, radio feed, and more right on your home screen. Thank you, True North Technologies, and let's go Stars.
All right, we are back on Thunderstruck, your unofficial Lincoln Stars podcast. Gene, 100 episodes for Sam and Justin. That's quite a feat.
That is quite a feat. I mean, we've only missed a couple weeks here and there in the 2 years that we've been doing it, and as he said, I mean, it's enjoyable to do, but it takes some work. And, you know, another thing that he said that was really interesting to me, I have found myself become a better hockey watcher since we started doing this than what I used to be, too, because it's like now I have to pay attention to it so that we can.
I do pay attention a little bit more to the games than I used to.
Yeah, it's very interesting just looking for little things that we can talk about and rave about, because as Sam said,
what an insult right there.
I corrected it. One of the things that, like you said, I think that part of the reason why the Stars have been so accommodating, even though we're an unofficial podcast of theirs, is because as we've made it known from the very start that we are here to enhance the product, to help Joel Norman do what Joel Norman does and Cristiano Simonetta did before he did and Rocky do what he did, because I remember how cool it was watching this team play and beat up on Omaha with 5,000 people in that building. And I want that. I continue to want that for every team that comes beyond
after
here.
Yeah.
After, before. I know some haven't gotten to, but yeah, anybody that comes after.
And you know, I think we helped the Stars. I mean, if you look at it, we've made the playoffs both years that we've been doing the show.
That's
so
it's got to be podcast karma right there.
I think we're helping out the product there.
There we go. Huge week. I know that this has been a little longer than what we've been going, but Tri-City tomorrow, right behind us, 2 points behind us. If they leave tomorrow, we're tied, and then we can gain some more ground on Waterloo, the Water Losers, on Friday and Saturday at home. Get out there.
Tri-City tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Are you playing hooky?
I am playing hooky.
All right, I am
hooky.
Too. All right, I'm playing hooky too. So hopefully a lot of fans out there can play hooky. Take a vacation day if you can, sick day, PTO, whatever it is. Get out to the Icebox tomorrow, support the Lincoln Stars, and we'll see you tomorrow and this weekend as we take on Waterloo.
Perfect.